10. Last week I preached a message entitled Back to the Basics, which was basically an overview of the moral law. Today I want to preach on moral authority in the family and in society. I believe there must be a definite moral authority to govern the family and, by extension, society at large. Deuteronomy chapter 10, God issues a solemn command that we are responsible to heed. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God, the earth also with all that therein is. These verses clearly illustrate and declare that God, as the creator and lawgiver, is the ultimate moral authority for all of his creation. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all they that dwell therein. God is the sovereign creator, and he is the ultimate lawgiver. His word and his moral law reveal that man is accountable and will be righteously judged by Almighty God. In fact, when Solomon ended the book of Ecclesiastes, he ended on this note. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. God is our ultimate authority. His word, his law, must be obeyed. It must be heeded. It must be embraced, believed, applied, acted upon. Now, last week we read the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments is also referred to as the law. It's referred to as the moral law. The first four commandments are all directed Godward in our relationship with God. The second half of the commandments, 6 through 10, involve our relationships among men. Now, as I stated last week, and I want there to be no mistake about this, you and I have failed miserably in living up to the ideals and the truths contained in the Ten Commandments. The moral law reveals to us how guilty and sinful and unrighteous we are. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. However, the Ten Commandments do serve as a governing moral principle for individuals and society at large. I believe that if you're saved by the grace of God, you're going to love the moral law. Because Paul the Apostle said, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. If you love Jesus Christ, you're going to love the commandments that He obeyed, that He magnified, and the ones that He's issued in the New Testament. He said, if you love Me, keep My commandments. Now, I've got a book by Brother Milburn Cockrell on the Ten Commandments, and I love the summary that he gave of the moral law. The first commandment concerns the existence of God and our need to worship Him. The second commandment addresses the nature of God and the character of acceptable worship. The third commandment points to the essential godhood of Jehovah and the awful guilt of worshiping Him insincerely. The fourth commandment hints at the obligation of secular labor and the need of rest and worship. The fifth commandment aims at respect for all authority, whether political or parental. The sixth commandment suggests the sacredness of the human nature and the sacrilegious guilt of injuring it. The seventh commandment indicates the hallowed nature of the marriage institution and the awful guilt of invading the sanctity of the home. The eighth commandment implies the rights of property and the wickedness of all kinds of theft. The ninth commandment refers to the sacredness of language and the criminality of all evil speaking. The tenth commandment intimates the brotherhood of man in the sense of creation and the evil of disturbing the order of human society. The human race will never outgrow the need of the ten rules of moral conduct as given by God. The changing of circumstances, conditions, cultures, and classes cannot destroy the significance and worth of these axioms of morals. The Ten Commandments will never become obsolete as long as men dwell upon this earth, for God is eternally the moral ruler of the Adamic race. I believe that. I believe it with all my heart. Now, we're going to delve a little bit more into the first commandment with promise. And that's the fifth commandment. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The first commandment with promise is commandment number 5. Interestingly enough, it contains foundational principles for all the commandments that follow after it. The first thing you notice is respect for authority in the home, and by extension, society at large. If you don't train your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and you don't train them in the way that they should go, then they will never have respect for you. And the by extension, as they grow up, little brats become big, spoiled, entitled brats. And I fear that we have a lot of young people today who have absolutely no respect for authority, parental or in the political realm. A well-ordered home provides emotional and physical stability for everyone within that home. In fact, the Bible says, it says that it'll be well with you. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16 says this, "Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want it to go well? Because of respect for authority, obedience to parents, it adds to the emotional and physical stability of everyone in the home. I've taught this to my kids. I'm trying to teach it to my grandkids. You want to have a happy home? Do right. Obey God. Obey your parents. Keep the commandments of God. Because if you're doing right and you're being obedient, then you know what? Your mom and dad are going to be pleased. They're going to rejoice. You can see it all the way through the book of Proverbs. But obedience is a learned virtue that benefits everybody in the family. It runs all the way, this principle runs all the way through the book of Proverbs, which we've been studying for 20 years. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Now, I may get a little ahead of myself here, but notice something here. This implies that mom and dad are actually instructing their children in the way of truth and godliness. They are taking an active interest in teaching them the truth of the Word of God, the truth of the gospel, the need for Jesus Christ and salvation. I believe with all my heart, parents, you are responsible for your children. You're responsible for teaching them, training them, and showing them the truth, not just with your mouth, but with your life. It's implied here. Now look over at chapter 6 and verse 20. "My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Proverbs 13 and verse 1, "A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke." Chapter 23 and verse 22. "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old." Now look over to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20. "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." How simple can it be? Do right. Live right. Obey. Believe and act upon the Word of God. But parents, your responsibility lies in teaching your children. The command to honor father and mother implies that both parents must live honorable lives that are worthy of respect and emulation. Parents, The responsibility is on you to do right, to provide the right kind of example. And men and women of honor will not kill other people, including their own babies. Men and women of honor will not steal from others. That includes looting and rioting. If there's a moral principle, thou shalt not steal, it means that you can't go somewhere and take what does not belong to you. That's sin. It's wrong. It is condemned by God in the Holy Scriptures. Men and women of honor will not lie or bear false witness against others. They will learn to keep their tongue, bridle their tongue. Men and women of honor will not covet what others have, and that includes not being jealous and envious. I'm going to tell you, the present political climate is one of division. Trying to pit one class of people against another, one skin against another, it's not biblical. It's ungodly. Any system that is built on envy and jealousy and entitlement can't possibly work. Men and women of honor will not commit adultery against one another. They'll be faithful to the marriage covenant. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Parents, these are all things that you should be teaching your children by what you say and by what you do, how you live. And I believe one of the reasons why our country is in the moral mess it's in, if you think this has just happened over the last 10 years, you are completely blind to reality. The reality is, this has been going on, for one thing, human depravity's never changed. People have always been wicked. But where there is a Christian ethic, much of that sin and rebellion is squelched. But when people have no fear of God, when they cast off the law of God, when they don't implement principles of morality based on the Word of God in their home and in their society, anarchy, confusion, unrest, violence, theft, murder, immorality, and tyranny will take over a society. You got to get back to the basics of the Word of God. There was a time in American history that our civil society was based on the moral authority revealed in the Ten Commandments. And when you hear people talking today and they use the word systemic and people are getting confused on what they mean, the idea is that the system of government based on the moral law revealed in the Ten Commandments, much of the Constitution was based on those moral principles. That is what they believe is systemically wrong. The idea that this is about race, is that's only a symptom. What they really want to do is get rid of a morally based government from the Word, based on the Word of God. Now, America has fallen far short. Don't get me wrong. I'm not here saying, America is the way of salvation or a political party or a president. No, men are failures. I point people to Jesus Christ alone as the way of salvation. But I've said it once, I'll say it again. America has done more good for this world in the 200 and some years we've been in existence than any other nation in the world. That's, you can't explain why people from all over the world want to come here. If we're so wicked, why are people risking their lives to get into this country? Because it's a land that was built on freedom and liberty. We've not always lived up to those ideals. We certainly aren't now. When you allow complete violence, I mean, what's going on in Seattle and Minneapolis is shameful. It's wicked. I've often thought about all the black folks that live in the inner city of Minneapolis, how they must live in a constant state of fear while they see their city being burnt down by Antifa. They don't care about people. They care about anarchy. And they want to break the system. You see, the values of the Ten Commandments were ingrained in people, even if they were not religious or faithful churchgoers. Growing up, we went to church occasionally. We didn't go to church a lot. But my mom and dad taught me the value of obedience, of working hard, of providing for yourself, of not stealing from others, not lying, not always looking what other people had. We were not rich people. My dad worked two jobs almost the entirety of my childhood, 80 hours a week, to put food on the table. But he never said, you know, look at what they got. We should get that. That was never mentioned in our home. We were taught to be thankful for what we had. It was ingrained in us. My mom and dad taught us it's our responsibility to take care of your own family. It's nobody else's. And I taught the same thing to my kids. I don't believe that we should teach kids that they are entitled to what belongs to other people. It's sin. It's wrong. It causes covetousness, which is a breach of the Ten Commandments. But when there is this Judeo-Christian ethic, there is respect for authority and discipline. There is an importance to the marriage covenant. Now, I'm going to tell you what, Hollywood, if you're taking your cues from people in the entertainment industry who live in moral sewers, who are swimming in the filth of fornication and adultery and perversity and child pedophilia, because that's what a lot of them are doing. If you're taking your cues from them, you are sadly on the wrong track. But our world thinks what they say is important because they're popular. They got a lot of money. They're going to hell. If they don't repent, they're going to die in their sins and spend an eternity in the lake of fire. families used to stick together. I'll tell you, divorce is killing our nation. In fact, sadly, I gave this stat last week. Now people aren't even getting married. 77% of black children are born out of wedlock in the latest statistics. That's alarming. 32% of Hispanics, 21% of whites are born out of wedlock. And it's probably even higher than that. There was a time when a strong work ethic prevailed. All these rioters. Man, I work every day. I don't have time to go burn down a building. I got to get some rest. I don't have time to go take down a monument. I got to work. I got a garden to hoe, right, Joe? I've been doing it too. Huh? Not as much as he does. God love him. But children were taught not to lie, steal, cheat, or injure others. And people in the main were thankful for what they had. Again, as I taught in Sunday school, there was a sense in which people understood the golden rule. And as ye would that men should do unto you, do ye also to them likewise. Luke 6:31. Now make no mistake about it. Anarchy and unrest in the world today is ultimately an attack on God and Christianity and His Word and His law. Sadly, historically, Marxists start with attacking founders of a nation. And then they take out the statues or the monuments. And listen, I'm not a big believer in statues and monuments, but it's public property. And as such, you don't have a right to deface it or to destroy it because somebody had to pay for that. It doesn't belong to you. First, it's the statues. Then it's the churches. This is the way it is in every Muslim country. When they want to establish their authority, their religious authority, they'll start stamping out places where people gather to worship that are contrary to Islam. Then, unfortunately, the next to go is people. That's you. That's me. The French Revolution teaches us this pattern along with Muslim nations. Tyranny will always bring violence. And again, I say, this could be avoided if people got back to the basics. I mean, Jesus condensed the essence of the Ten Commandments down to basically two commandments. He said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength." That's the first and greatest commandment. "And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And you say, "Well, what's that mean? How do I love my neighbor as myself? How could I possibly live that way?" It's not difficult. It's outlined in Romans 13:8. I quoted this morning in Sunday school. It says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 10 is a comment on what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. What's that mean? If you love your neighbor as yourself, you're not going to try to steal his wife or his possessions. You're not going to lie on him. You're not going to covet what he has. That's what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I want to just give a couple of concluding points. If we as individuals, families, and society at large do not get back to the basics of loving God and man as prescribed in the moral law, we are sure to continue the swift descent into chaos, confusion, and anarchy. I'm going to tell you, this world needs Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection as the only way of salvation. That's the only hope, is that there is an awakening of Christianity. No civil society survives when it abandons God and His principles. And our culture is quickly devolving into one where politicians see political gain in division, class envy, jealousy, hatred, and violence, and perversity. It is the mark of a reprobate society that continues to devolve. And you can read it. I don't have time to read it, but Romans chapter 1. One of the things about Romans 1 is that they're disobedient to parents. It's also one of the characteristics of the last days. So we have something that is really against God and against us. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but spiritual. I'll close with a couple of quotes from George Washington. And yes, I do believe George Washington was a great man of principle. I don't know whether he was saved or not. A lot of his writings indicate that he was. But I will tell you this, he was a man of principle. And the United States would not exist without him. He said, "We ought to be no less persuaded that the propitious smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right which heaven itself has ordained. And since the preservation of the sacred fire of liberty and the destiny of the republican model of government are justly considered as deeply, perhaps finally, staked of the experiment." He said, "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible." He said, "Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports." He said, "And let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. It is substantially true that virtue or morality is a necessary spring of popular government." We don't get back to basics, we are going to lose our nation. You know, it only took Venezuela 10 years to to go from one of the highest producing nations in South America to where people are eating out of garbage cans and killing their dogs and cats for food. That can never happen in America. Oh, it can happen anywhere. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 9, in verse 17, and I'll conclude with this. Verse 16, the Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Higgion, Selah. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. People say, we need revival. That's great. God's people need to be revived, no question about it. But we really need to see an awakening, where people are actually saved by the power of God. And their hearts are changed. Their dispositions, their attitudes are changed. That's what we need to be praying for. May God help us to teach our young people the truth by precept and practice. And then may we be faithful in sharing the gospel everywhere we go. Let's all stand.